Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
It's the Greg and Telly Show till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Happy National Pina Colada Day, Telly. I know you were following this one closely. It's a big day.
Yeah, I had it marked on my calendar, actually.
I notice how they don't do that on a Tuesday, right? It's got to be a Friday kind of thing.
For sure.
Maybe a Saturday, but not your average Tuesday or Wednesday. Big show for you today here, taking you until 3 o'clock. We've got Brewers baseball. They finish up this road trip with 3 against the Pirates. Our coverage of tonight's game gets underway at 5:05.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Well, President Trump says he will not sign the bipartisan housing affordability bill that is due to become law this evening unless vetoed. ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy in D.C. with the latest.
The 21st Century Road to Housing Act would exempt certain projects from environmental reviews, expand financing for affordable housing, and restrict large institutional investors from owning more than 350 single-family homes. It passed in both houses with scant opposition. But President Trump says he won't sign it, quote, in protest of the Senate's refusal to pass the voter ID and citizenship requirements of the Save America Act. If he doesn't veto the bill by midnight, it will become law without his signature. That sort of thing hasn't happened in nearly a decade.
Because it originally passed with immense bipartisan support. I mean, this was an 85-5 vote in the Senate, a 358-32 vote in the House. Lawmakers possess the margins necessary to override a presidential veto. So kind of holding out here, not sure exactly what the president will do or maybe won't do before this timeline expires tonight. But at this point, he has not signed that bill.
Yeah. Lawyers for the former Olympian charged with vandalizing the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool preparing to fight his case in court. David Hearn is pleading not guilty after the Justice Department charged him with causing more than $1,000 worth of damages. Hearn was arrested 3 weeks ago as President Trump has repeatedly blamed vandals for the problems plaguing the pool without providing any evidence. More from ABC's Sienna Wang in Washington.
Hearn told me that he simply touched a part of the blue coating that was already partially detached, telling me, quote, I did not remove, I did not damage, I did not rip, tear, break, destroy, or harm any part of the reflecting pool. His lawyer says every American is at risk and should be alarmed by his prosecution, and now three more have pleaded not guilty who have been charged with damaging the pool as well.
Prosecutors claim that on June 19th, Hearn forcefully pulled up about 2 square feet of the pool's new blue liner and refused to stop when ordered by a park employee. Hearn is scheduled to return to the D.C. Superior Court for a status conference in August. And I can't believe that all those millions of dollars this pool, reflecting pool, has cost. You mean to tell me a couple of square feet is the main culprit of this?
Yeah.
I'm not understanding, but we'll see how this all plays out.
You know how they dye the river in Chicago green for St. Patrick's Day?
Yes.
Can't they just dye this thing blue, right?
And just keep it moving. Like, there has to be some chlorine out there that you could just put in there and make it reflect, but that's neither here nor there for me.
And finally, the family of the Mississippi teenager whose body was found off of Barrier Island is demanding answers and calling for an independent autopsy. Nolan Wells was last seen July 4th, celebrating the holiday with some friends. They were out on a boat near Horn Island, and that's when police say he disappeared. His remains were found in the water a couple of days later. Christine Wansley is Wells' mother. She tells Good Morning America the family is looking for justice.
At the end of the day, I would hope any parent would fight for their kids to find out if anything happened, what did happen. So we just want honesty and transparency. We want a thorough investigation. We want that same respect that would be given to anybody else. And that's it. We just want answers.
A couple of interesting points here, though. The family discovered text messages were deleted from his phone. Additionally, Wells' cell phone was returned to his father, meaning he didn't have it on him when he vanished. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office in Mississippi currently treating the investigation as an active and ongoing one. No foul play has been officially suspected as of yet. Coming up next, President Trump is back from his two-day NATO summit in Turkey. So why did he fly to Turkey on one plane and fly home on a different one? We'll explain after this. President Trump is back in the United States after a two-day and high-stakes NATO summit in Ankara, Turkey. Trump flew to Turkey on the new Air Force One, this luxury plane gifted to the president after flying Qatari royalty around the world. But at the urging of the Secret Service, the president flew out of Turkey on the old Air Force One. Walking us through the logic of the situation is Rich Frankel, former special agent in charge of the FBI in New York. Rich, thanks for joining us here. So what prompted the Secret Service to make this call?
So I think there were probably a couple of things, all related to the current threat environment, the rise in hostilities between the U.S. and Iran, the fact that there were some attacks by both sides. The U.S., I think, and Israel also flew some missions against Iran, and then Iran attacked some of the various other countries in the area. And that the president was in Turkey flying back at the start of this caused the Secret Service to take concern. Plus, there is reports that the Israelis passed what they believe is credible information about a threat to the president, you know, a potential assassination plot being hatched by the Iranians. That came from the Israelis. One is believed to be credible, and the other is that we have known that Iran has wanted to commit an act of assassination or hostilities against the president because we've had a case like that here in New York and other cases in the United States where it's believed that the Iranians have had potential cells here in the U.S. With all of that, the Secret Service wanted to make sure that the president was as safe as possible in that threat environment. And the older Air Force One is something that was built in the United States. It's been tested. It was built with the purpose of flying the president, where the new one, while it could be a great plane and it's been retrofitted and it may work perfectly, that was not its original purpose. And until it's truly tried and vetted and tested, I think the Secret Service is just more comfortable with the older plane.
Rich, reports indicate $400 million were spent on security upgrades to the new Air Force One. So what is it missing that the old Air Force One has?
The defensive capabilities that the old Air Force One has. And again, most of that is classified, if not all of it. But we do know that there are anti-missile capabilities. Some of the known defensive capabilities of our Air Force and naval jets are on Air Force One to protect the president. And again, those were put in originally during the build. And so it was built with the purpose to do that, where the new jet, which has been retrofitted with those capabilities and probably even updated or newer capabilities, and it's a retrofit. It was not built with the purpose to fly the president of the United States, and it has not been tested and vetted over the same amount of time that the original Air Force One has. And I think it's just you go with something you know works and you're much more comfortable with. And that's why the Secret Service most likely wanted the president to be on that one until the new one is fully tested out.
So Boeing is working on constructing the new Air Force One. It's not expected to be ready until roughly 2028. So now you got this new luxury Qatari gifted jet in the mix. But I wonder, Rich, if it's not right for this sort of overseas travel, when will it be right for this sort of overseas travel?
I could see it being flown in the United States because, you know, we control the airspace. It's much safer. I think it will be flown with the president in it. But until that vetting and whatever that is takes place, especially during this heightened threat period, I do think they're going to be on Air Force One. I have seen that, Democrats in Congress have actually asked for some of the information that you kind of just alluded to. What is it going to take to fly this plane and why is it not ready? And again, I think it's just that the Secret Service is much more comfortable with the older one. Sooner or later, that the new one is either going to have to be brought into full service or they're going to have to come up with another game plan.
Yeah, I can only imagine the work that goes into trying to make sure it is security tight, Air Force One. It's 2026, right? The capabilities of countries like Iran and countries that would like to see things go bad for the United States are extreme. To try and keep up with the technology to make it a safe place, that cannot be easy in and of itself, regardless of what plane you're doing the work on.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we've talked about drones in the past, that drone technology is changing weekly. And if that's the case, then defending against drones is also changing weekly. And so what are they doing for that plane and for other planes to have that defensive ability when you do have this technology changing so fast? I think you've hit it kind of on the head with the new plane also, is that they most likely are continuing to upgrade it. And again, when you upgrade it, you need to test it out. And there's always that worry in the back of your mind. Is it fully vetted and tested? The other thing is, and this came from when I was on the FBI, there was somebody who did foreign counterintelligence. And they said, listen, if you're not U.S., you're not U.S. And even if there are best friends, the new plane was not built in the United States and was not built with the intent to protect the president. The original one was. That's what its mission has always been. Until Secret Service has full confidence in the newer one, we're going to see that older one fly.
And Turkey shares a border with Iran, and the recent collapse of the ceasefire likely heightened the risk for the president in traveling home. Really good information, as always. Good to connect with Rich Frankel, special agent in charge of the FBI in New York. Rich, have a great weekend. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. You too. Have a great weekend.
I will not pretend to know and understand the security measures that go into protecting anybody aboard Air Force One. That is classified information, and I think it should be classified information.
Yeah.
They are building a new Air Force One, the folks from Boeing, but they've had so many issues, Boeing has, over the last couple of years, that there's been some delays in the process of creating this. So this sort of interim $400 million gift plane was made an option, but about $400 million went into securing that for the president or anybody traveling aboard that version of Air Force One. So it is interesting. It's just maybe sort of a comfort thing that President Trump was ushered onto the old Air Force One to get out of Turkey once he got about halfway through his trip back to the United States. The Qatari gifted plane is what brought him back home. So I guess they've got two in rotation with a third on the way, and the others will ultimately be retired, I suppose.
Yeah, but the gift one will leave once President Trump leaves office, correct? Didn't he say that it would end up at a museum or a library or something like that?
Not expected to be in commission for use when the new plane, new Air Force One, is finally finished. So that is expected to be sometime in 2028. I mean, if you're looking to get outside this weekend, you could not have dialed up a better forecast to be outside doing stuff. Of course, Milwaukee, the city of festivals, when it comes to the summer months, no rain in the forecast. Should be a great opening night for Festa Italiana, which returns to the festival grounds beginning this evening. And the gates open at 5 o'clock, takes you all the way through the weekend. To talk about all things cannoli and more, Mary Linder joins us. It's a very busy day for you, Marie. I appreciate you joining us here, because I know you got gondolas to get ready, you got food to prepare, right? You're getting everything going for today's fest.
Yes, we're very busy on the Summerfest grounds today.
Well, that is good. So walk us through what is new for Festa Italiana this year. It's always such a great celebration of all things Italy.
Well, probably foremost, and we're having fireworks tonight and Saturday, and they're supposed to be bigger and louder because of America's 250th birthday. Campari is back. We had that in 2019. It's kind of a bar with a DJ in it and some piped-in music. Very nice place for young adults and those who just love that kind of music. We also have a soccer tournament on Saturday where the youth will be playing for some competition, and then on Sunday it would be the adults, and that's in the sports area on the Summerfest grounds. Of particular interest is our heritage tent, which this year marks the 800th anniversary of the death of St. Francis of Assisi, and we have on loan a life-size statue of him. So that's some of the things that are new and exciting, and we have some new vendors. We got some excellent entertainment, and it's supposed to be a great weekend to come on down and celebrate all things Italian.
Marie, what about the food? Any new foods this year? Because it's around lunchtime and people are hungry, so they want to know, what can they expect from the food?
We have the Ranieri's, who are doing calzones, and then we have R&B from Chicago, and he's doing a lot. He's doing calamari, he's doing squid, he's doing fresh pasta. He has an array of good foods. But you can find any booth is going to give you a really, really good meal, and nobody should go home hungry.
No, I wish I could export some of the recipes out of Festa Italiana into my own personal cookbooks here. It's just an unbelievable scent when you walk to the festival grounds.
Yes.
Like, you can't help but pick it up. Marie, do you set up anything with travel, right? I mean, Italy is such a great destination, and it really, for me personally, it feels like a place I would need to go to multiple times to really do it justice and sink my teeth into the culture. Are there travel experts on site as part of Festa that might be able to help people get to Italy and book a trip and help plan it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have Olive to Travel. I believe she's going to be in the Cucina Showcase in the Aurora Pavilion, and she is arranging travel to Italy. I think she's got one now, and she's going to probably do one for October, which is the big feast in Porticello for Madonna di Lumini.
So you give people a taste of it this week, and then they can actually get the full experience if they connect with one of these travel agencies, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
That is the way to do it. Bringing that slice of Italy, it's such a melting pot, Wisconsin. It became that, right, with the Irish and Germans and Italians that all settled to. It's kind of why we have the festivals that we have. It's such a long-running tradition here. I think about going there when I was a kid, Marie, with my relatives, the Mazzonis and the Balestreris, right? That's all part of my family's tree. And it was just sort of what we did, right? We did that. We didn't do Summerfest. We did Festa together as a family. So I know for many, this is about making memories and continuing a legacy.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I remember walking down the Third Ward with my grandmother. I was very, very young and being afraid of the bombs that went off in the street.
Wow.
When was that? Yeah. When was that, Marie?
Okay. That's not bombs like you would think. Those are the firework bombs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet you I was only about 5 or 6 years old then.
Okay.
But it was a part of the tradition.
Well, I'm glad you could clarify. I wasn't entirely sure where you're going with that, but that's good.
No.
Well, good. So we got the festival grounds opening up, 5 o'clock tonight? So what are the hours and how do people take advantage of everything happening on the grounds this weekend?
Okay, tonight it opens at 5 o'clock, and from 5 to 7, we have free admission for our military, our first responders, our health people, and our education people. All you have to do is show an ID. On Sunday, we have a hunger task force, where if you bring 2 to 3 imperishable canned items or like a bag of spaghetti, you get in free. Also, the mass is at 10:30, and then those who wish to go to mass at the BMO will also be in free with food items.
Well, really good stuff. We're looking forward to a wonderful weather weekend. It should make the crowds great at Festa Italiana. It's one of the great traditions here in the city of Milwaukee each and every year. Marie Linder, get back to work, Marie. I know you got a busy, busy day and ready for those gates to open at 5. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Come on down. Have some fun.
Yeah, it is a great time. Festa Italiana, Marie Linder joining us. We got a lot of older Italian relatives in my family when I was growing up. You just walk into the kitchen and all those scents, all those smells,
yeah,
kind of what you smell when you go to Festa. So it's always a great reminder of some of our family's history, deep Italian roots on our side.
Yeah, I was going to say the fresh pasta and all that already sold me. And I am not Italian, and I love the scents as well. But I love all the festivals that we have here in Milwaukee because everyone has something they can take a part, be a part of. And you can be a part of whatever festivals you want to attend.
Well, Bastille Day is celebrating all things French at Cathedral Square this weekend and Festa Italiana on the grounds of Summerfest. It would be a fun weekend in the festival world. A tragedy on Lake Geneva, a red card controversy. The vice president visits Milwaukee and more. It's all part of the Weekend Review, and it's brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Hey, buddy.
7 people were rescued from the water. Unfortunately, there was 3 fatalities of people who were not able to be rescued.
The Bucks make it official, trading Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis to the Miami Heat.
No matter where I am, Milwaukee will always be my city, my team, my family.
No one's sitting here today and saying that we're a better team today after trading Giannis.
FIFA is allowing U.S. soccer star Flo Balogun to play in tonight's World Cup game against Belgium. President Trump was asked today if he played a role in FIFA's decision.
All I did was ask for a review. I didn't say you have to do this.
One, is this corruption? And two, is this now become a lose-lose?
A few moments later.
Nope. Okay. That's not going to do it. Team USA gets embarrassed on home soil.
Violent crime is down 8%. This is great news for our community. Weather is hot, and so are the streets. MPD is doing our best to get involved in many preventative spaces that we can.
The 3-1 pitch. Here's a ground ball right side. That's going to sneak through and into right field for a base hit. And the first big league knock for Luis Lara is a big one here in St. Louis.
They not only sweep the doubleheader, but they win the season series from St. Louis.
All right, some breaking news for you. Former Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan has been sentenced to no prison time for obstructing an ICE arrest in the county courthouse.
They're talking about how J.D. Vance is the chairman of the White House task force to eliminate fraud.
When we allow that money that ought by rights go to feed poor children, but instead goes to fraudsters, we destroy the social fabric of the United States of America.
This is also an administration that has pardoned the most amount of people for fraud.
Some have argued that removing the old Park East Freeway is a template, just simply not the case for 794.
This is not just about Milwaukee. This is a regional asset.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission is launching an investigation after duplicate ballots were issued for both the spring election and the upcoming August primary.
I want to know what they literally did to cause this to happen twice. You know, what software are they using? How are they exporting it?
Decision Wisconsin, Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley ending his campaign for governor.
Why are people backing Missy Hughes and now him, Sarah Rodriguez?
Because of the establishment. When you look at Francesca Hong, she has made some comments that Republicans are probably chopping at the bit to be able to attack her. If Joel drops out and if Kel DeRoy drops out, I think they're both doing the same thing.
Bonnie Tyler has passed away. Her family says the Welsh performer passed away due to an illness she was being treated for in Portugal.
Paul Farrow, longtime Waukesha County executive, has passed away. He was only 61 years old. He had a courageous battle with a very rare form of cancer.
Cancer was something other people had, but now it's to the forefront. And I want to know, how can I get advocacy? How can I help people get through this?
Now I'm only falling apart. A total eclipse of the heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.